Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Before the Maryland General Assembly ends its 2015 session at midnight, it has a lot of work to do and a lot of negotiating with Governor Hogan. The session has been relatively calm so far, but it's not over yet. Compromise on the state budget has to be reached, and a handful of bills could still be passed. With me in the studio to talk about it is Fraser Smith, WIPR senior news analyst. Morning.
Morning, Sheila.
And with us by phone from Annapolis is Chris Connolly, WIPR State House reporter. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hey. So, Chris Connolly, bring us up to date on the budget. Governor Hogan spoke over the weekend with Senate President Mike Miller and House Speaker Michael Bush. Did they hash out the outlines of a compromise on the budget?
Not that anybody's been made aware of yet. I don't think that they have. I mean, basically what we have now is we have Senate and House conference committees that have their own plan that they came up with on Friday that meets all of their goals and tries to address some of Hogan's goals, and they say this is a good faith effort, it's a conciliatory gesture. Hogan has, on Saturday, came up with his own budget proposal that addresses all of his goals and some of the Senate and House Democrats' priorities, and he said this is a good faith effort, it's a conciliatory gesture. They're still a bit far apart from each other.
What are the particular points that seem crucial to hash out?
So the House and the Senate have been focused on putting more money into public schools. They've been focused on giving state workers a cost of living increase and funding Medicaid and some social safety net programs that kind of got cut in Hogan's budget. And they did that by using some pension money. And so Hogan didn't like that they used the pension money, and he didn't like that his legislative agenda, which included a package of tax cuts, was not in their budget plan. So the House and Senate, conciliatory budget plan gives more money to the pension, but not as much as Hogan would like and not quite in the way that he would like it. It meets all of their goals, of course. It has money for schools and state workers and Medicaid. It also has some money for non-public schools in a gesture to Hogan as well. Hogan's budget gives them most of the school's money that they want, but not all of it. But it does fully fund the pension in the way that he wants. So, I mean, we're talking about, they're all kind of on the same page and they're inching closer together, but they're not there yet, it seems.
Fraser Smith, you have watched a lot of General Assembly sessions come down to the wire. What's your assessment of this budget situation? Are they going to reach a compromise?
I think they will reach one, definitely. I think they will. It's a two-level struggle, I think. There's the immediate struggle of closing the gap on spending here, and those numbers are really not too far apart. I think they'll be able to figure that out. But the bigger question is, who won the session? Did the Assembly win or did the governor win? And I think that the people on the Democratic side in particular, and maybe Hogan's as well, are looking ahead. They're looking to the next election, and they're looking to redistricting. That's what's really at stake here, I think. And so who won this time matters.
Well, let me pursue that a bit. If you are a newly elected Republican governor in a blue state, but you're elected with crossover votes, but a core of conservatives also, do you win by essentially fighting with the Democratic majority and being seen as the champion of some things that the Democratic majority doesn't like?
Well, I think he was in danger and felt he was in danger of giving in too quickly to the Democrats. And he had confused the entire assembly, I think, by appearing to agree to the budget compromise that was in the works from the very beginning.
The Democratic compromise.
Yes. I mean, he sent his budget secretary down to congratulate the Appropriations Committee in the House. And then the House confirmed what the committee did. And then the Senate did the same thing. So that this fight is a little bit fiercer and sort of catches people off guard because they thought a lot of this was a done deal.
Until just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Chris Connolly, so you hear Fraser Smith say he thinks there is going to be a budget deal before midnight. How does it look to you?
Well, I think there will be. You know, I think that Hogan is at heart a businessman. He likes to drive a hard bargain. I think that they all kind of see it as, you know, they want to, you know, make their stands for as long as they can, and then they'll figure out something they can all agree on. And, you know, on a technical level, the House and Senate don't actually need Hogan to sign off on their budget. They can pass a budget, and once they pass it, it's done. The governor doesn't have to sign it. But they need to get him to buy in on releasing the money for some of their priorities, including schools and state workers. So, but I think that they'll get there. I mean, and everybody has said from the beginning, even when there was, you know, it was at its tensest last week, everybody was saying, we'll still get there. We're getting closer. We'll be there by midnight on Monday.
I should just point out on the pension, a point that Professor Roy Myers of UMBC made to us on the pension. The pension money they're arguing over is not the core funding of the pensions. It's catch-up funding, how much it should be. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Fraser Smith, senior news analyst at WIPR, and with us by phone from Annapolis, Chris Connolly, WIPR State House reporter. Backed up behind the budget, Chris, are some of which you've mentioned, Governor Hogan's package of bills that has not yet passed. More flexibility for charter schools, tax credits for donations to private schools, and end to requiring certain jurisdictions to charge stormwater remediation fees, often called the rain tax. Where do they stand? Is it entirely dependent on whether there's a budget deal, or might they pass independently?
I don't think it's entirely dependent, but I think that they are tied to the budget deal. And back on Friday when the House and Senate came up with their deal, they said, you know, as we, you know, the House has started moving forward on some of these issues in his legislative agenda. So to take them kind of one by one, the charter schools bill has been heavily amended from what Hogan proposed. But that seems to be moving pretty solidly toward being passed by the end of the day. This tax credit bill for private schools, donations to private schools, doesn't seem like it's got a lot of support in the House and pretty minimal support in the Senate, too. The rain tax bill, interestingly, the House and Senate killed Hogan's rain tax bill, but they have moved on a rain tax bill that Senate President Mike Miller put forward that basically, you know, it gets rid of the requirement that counties and Baltimore City charge a fee, which is what Republicans have hated the most about it. But it adds some teeth and says that, you know, the city and, you know, the nine largest counties still have to come up with money to pay for stormwater projects. And it gives the state a little bit of teeth in saying, you know, if they don't come up with the money, they could have some funds withheld or, you know, consequences essentially for not following through. So it's a compromise bill that everybody likes, including Hogan, even though it's not his bill.
And Fraser, I assume all of this has an impact on who is seen as winning the session.
Yes, and I think one of the questions that people are asking down there is what would have to happen for the governor to be able to claim a win. It appeared, again, after the Appropriations Committee bill emerged, the one that is...
The budget bill,
that having reduced the amount of state spending, or at least not increasing it very much, was a victory. But he seems to want more than that. But again, it's been confusing because on the bills that Chris just mentioned, there have been extensive rewriting, but buy-in on those bills to the point where it looked like he was going to be very conciliatory and willing to meet them halfway, but not on the budget.
In the area of criminal justice, there's a bill that would allow people with minor criminal offenses to keep their records private from employers. It looks, Chris, I'm told it looks like it will pass. It's called the Second Chance Act, and this isn't the first time it's been introduced. What would allow that to pass this year?
Well, it seems like it's been tweaked enough to get support in the legislature. I mean, it's the legislature that has killed it before. What they did this year is they dropped theft from this list of crimes that you can shield from potential employers being able to see on your record. So,
theft.
I mean, and the things that are on there are very, very minor, including, you know, public drunkenness and some minor drug possession charges and trespassing, you know, things like that. And the idea is that, you know, if you have this thing on your criminal record, you know, and 3 years later you haven't committed any crimes, you can shield it so that when you apply for a job, you know, when they do a quick search for your name, they can't see that you have this criminal record, so you're more likely to get employed. Theft had been the sticking point last year when this came up. Employers said, you know, I don't want to hire somebody to put in front of a cash register who's been convicted of stealing before. But it also got some support from Hogan this year, too. The governor sent out a statement saying he supports it. He thinks it's, you know, time to take down the barriers for people who are, you know, have made mistakes but are kind of living a good and right life now. They shouldn't be blocked from getting a job,
Frazier,
because of something they did years ago.
It's a really important bill, and more important than it seems, because as many as, believe it or not, 400,000 people in Maryland have this kind of blemish on their record. I got that number from Senator Raskin, who's the chief sponsor of the bill. That's a lot of people whose lives, he refers to it as a death sentence, not a small sentence at all. Not a death sentence, but
a life sentence.
A life sentence, yes.
A life sentence. We've just got a half minute left. Frazier, what is this session going to be remembered for?
Well, it looked like it was going to be remembered for bipartisanship and conciliatory lawmaking, and maybe it still will.
Chris, what do you think the session is going to be remembered for?
I'd throw in with Frazier on that. I think it may be a sort of rocky first start for a first-term governor, and we'll see which side it rocks to, I guess, by the end of the day.
Well, I appreciate you both talking to us about it, and good luck covering it today. Chris Connolly is WIPR's Statehouse reporter. Frazier Smith is WIPR's senior news analyst. You can find their coverage of the General Assembly at news.wipr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on 88.1.